The psalm response this morning was, "Teach me your ways, O Lord." So we said it many times, "Teach me your ways, O Lord. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior." You see, it's a plea for guidance from the Lord. It reminded me of the questions that were asked of John the Baptist in yesterday's gospel when they said, "What should we do? What should we do?" The people who were experiencing conversion, who had left their sin behind and been baptized, then they wanted to have guidance. Now, how do we live this new life? So it's a right way of responding, and it's a right way to open ourselves to guidance from the Lord. And God wants to teach us. He wants to guide us. In fact, He does. He's speaking to us all the time. So that's not the problem. The question is whether we're ready to listen or not, whether we're ready to receive teaching or receive or follow guidance. Today's first reading is a beautiful selection from the passages from the book of Numbers about the prophet Balaam. Balaam was being asked by the pagan king to curse the Israelites. So the king, Balak, came and said, "You curse the Israelites for me." And Balaam instead gave a series of prophecies that indicated God's favor to the Israelites, or to the house of Jacob. Now, we just read two excerpts of that encounter, but they're beautiful ones. The first one mentions how blessed the Israelites appear in God's sight, and how his king will rise up, the king of Israel will rise up, and his royalty shall be exalted. It's clearly in opposition to the ambitions of the pagan king, who wanted the king of Israel to be reduced. And then in the second prophecy, there's mention of seeing what is to come. "I see him, though not now. I behold him, though not near." This has always been interpreted as a prophecy of the Messiah coming in the more distant future. And then, "A star shall advance from Jacob, and a staff shall rise from Israel." Mention of the star always makes Christians think of the Magi, who followed the star in order to find the newborn Savior in Bethlehem. So these prophecies are beautiful, and they're indications of how God is intent on teaching us. "Teach me your ways, O Lord. Guide me in your paths, O Lord." God does teach us and does guide us, but He does it in His own way, and if we're not ready to receive it, well, then it doesn't bear fruit. So for the King Balak, he didn't want to hear any of that, and he didn't. I mean, he basically rejected it. But the prophecy remains, the truth remains. And now we read it as an indication of God having a plan from long ago, and how His plan unfolds in His own time for our good. In the gospel, the chief priests and the elders are standing in opposition to Jesus because He is speaking with and acting with authority in the temple area, which is their territory. So you can see why they feel a bit of jealousy here, or are offended. And they say, "Well, who gave you the authority to do this stuff in our territory?" I'm sure they weren't thinking that they were praying, because they didn't consider Jesus as having any authority, and they certainly didn't think of Him as God. But if we can step back and ponder this a little bit from a different angle, we can say this is actually a prayer, because prayer is conversation with God. Sometimes in our prayer we ask God questions, or we make requests of Him. We want knowledge from Him, guidance from Him. So in saying to Jesus, "Who gave you this authority?" It can be interpreted as a prayer. but a prayer made without a willingness to receive the truth as an answer. In other words, they wanted to impose on Jesus their own agenda, their own authority. They weren't in a disposition to be guided or to be taught. The reason why I connect this to prayer is because we make this mistake ourselves when we pray. We think, or we fall into this tendency that to think that our prayer will make God do what we want, that our prayer will somehow influence God to bend to our will, and that when we pray, we expect Him to respond according to our desires. And we get this wrong idea, perhaps from a misinterpretation of statements like, ask and you shall receive, which Jesus does teach about prayer. Ask and you shall receive. Well, that we think that means, wrongly think that means, we get what we ask for when we ask for it. And that's not how it works. So here, they don't get an answer to their question, by what authority are you doing these things? Instead, they get a question in response. Jesus answers their question with a question. And you know, he does this a lot in the Gospels. He answers a question with a question because he has to test the listeners. Are they even ready to receive? What good is it to teach those whose hearts are closed? So he asks them a question which to them would have been completely unconnected. And they're asking him about his authority, and all of a sudden he brings up John the Baptist and his practice of baptizing. To them, no connection. But we should be able to see the connection, because John is the preparation for Jesus. So if they don't get John, if they don't understand and welcome the message and the ministry of John, well, then they're not going to be prepared for the coming of Jesus. So he asks them, well, what about John? Was his baptism of heavenly or of human origin? He puts them on the spot. It's a brilliant question, because they have been tolerating John without really accepting him, and they don't want to get into trouble with the crowds who all believe John is a prophet. So what can they say? they say this among themselves. You could really see the human dynamic here. This is how we think. How can I come off looking good here? And they say, we can't give an answer to this. If we say heavenly origin, then he puts us on the spot. If we say of human origin, then the people will reject our authority, and we lose either way. So they say, we do not know. It's the ultimate escape from responsibility, right? Here they're trying to defend their authority, and they're shirking their authority. They're not taking responsibility for their role as the teachers of the temple. They should know. They should be able to give an answer. In fact, the answer was obvious to everybody that John was a prophet. Everybody knew it. Even King Herod knew it. I mean, everybody knew John was a prophet. It was so obvious that God sent this man, and he was an agent of God. In fact, a lot of people thought he might be the Messiah. That's how prominent and obvious John the Baptist was. So for them to say, we do not know, is a clear abdication of not only of their responsibility as teachers, but even their responsibility as Jews at that time. I mean, you had to respond in some way to John the Baptist. You couldn't ignore him. And I don't know how it sounds here, but no one in the United States would say, we do not know. We say, I don't know, and shrug your shoulders like that. I don't know. Who knows? If that's the kind of answer it is, I don't know. We do not know sounds very formal. But what they're really doing is they're shrugging their shoulders and saying, That means to Jesus, they're not open to receiving any teaching, any guidance. And he says, well, then if you don't know, meaning if you don't want to know, if your hearts are that closed to something so obviously from God, well, then why should I give you anything more? Now, that tells us the disposition of the chief priests and the elders. What I like to do for our own purposes is try to examine how we fail to respond, or we don't open ourselves completely to the teaching, the guidance of the Lord. We might say, "Teach me your ways, O Lord," but we're not always that welcoming when he teaches us something that we don't want to hear, or guides us in a direction we don't want to follow. This is why it's a good thing for us to reflect on. Because if we have that disposition, then when we pray, we might get a response from Jesus like, "Well, what about this or that?" He might answer our question with a question and put us on the spot. How serious are you in your determination to follow me? How willing are you to accept the truth, accept the gospel? Because if we say, I don't know, who knows, who cares, none of my business, if we say things like that to God, well then he can't guide us, and he won't. Not because he's against us, but because you can't steer a stopped car. if a vehicle's not moving, you can't give it any direction. Okay, so that's where we are. I think we can be inspired by the great prophecies of Balaam and recognize how good God is in providing light, providing guidance, teaching for us. But at the same time, we have to be careful not to close the door or close our hearts to the great gift of the truth, the gift of the gospel. Because if we do that, then we don't get the benefit of all that God has in store for us. So we know we're in Advent here. In fact, this is the last day of the first part of Advent. It's always confusing in the Philippines because this is the first day of the novena, the first day of the Simbang Gabi novena. But this is the last day of the section of Advent that is a more remote preparation. Starting tomorrow, we really start to focus on the preparations for the birth of the Messiah. And the idea is that by this time, we should be ready for this. So let's be sure that we are ready.